I am a religious man and not a political man. I have views that I've held for 30 years, and I cannot give up my views for political considerations.
Did you and Reverend Jackson ever have a discussion, as it seems that you have just said you did, and he tried to counsel you in ways to be more careful with some of the things that you were saying?
Yes.
And how did he counsel you? What did he say?
As I just said, speak outside of the storm. Don't speak into the controversy. Speak away from it. Mr. Jackson recognizes that the strength of the Muslim community and the Muslim teaching is in the reform of black people. We have a marvelous record of cleaning up drug addicts and wine addiction and criminal life and criminal behavior and strengthening the family life. So Reverend Jackson's guidance to me was to speak to that aspect of our work rather than those aspects that are so controversial.
The comments that have been reported as being said by Reverend Jackson today, do you feel that Reverend Jackson was pressured into making those comments?
Of course.
And who do you think put the pressure on Reverend Jackson?
Well, as I read in the newspapers, and of course I have to be very careful of what I read in the newspapers, there was a conversation with Mr. Strauss after the debate in, I think it was Dallas, Texas. And Mr. Strauss was overheard telling Reverend Jackson that he had to repudiate Farrakhan. And Mr. Jackson was overheard saying that he had a moral obligation. And Mr. Strauss was heard to say that's BS. So I would imagine that Mr. Strauss, Mr. Mamat, Mr. Mondale, Mr. Hart, the leaders in the Democratic Party, other even black leaders, have urged him to pull away from Louis Farrakhan.
Speaking of other black leaders, were you surprised by the comments made today by the executive director of the NAACP, Benjamin Hooks?
No, I was not surprised. I talked with Ben Hooks earlier today, and my respect for him is such that I wanted him to know that I never did say that Judaism was a gutter religion. I wanted him to know that his statement that he held to the Judeo-Christian tenets, that I believed in those tenets myself. And I told him that I would send him a tape of my actual words so that he could see them in context. And he said that he would send to me the full text of his words that I may see them in context. But I am not surprised. You know, he that pays the piper generally calls the tune. And most black organizations are heavily financed by those who are not black. And when a black leader stands up who is bold and assertive and forthright and does not appear to bend or bow or scrape or scratch, then the powers that be usually manipulate those leaders of those organizations whom they fund. And it's very interesting to me that even these organizations and their leaders have been most careful in their remarks.
You keep mentioning that you didn't make the remark about Judaism being a gutter religion. We are taking this out of context. We have an audio portion because your speech was half an hour long, your sermon. We're going to look at a portion of it. It has itself not been edited. From the moment it starts to the moment it stops, it is a direct run, no editing in between. And perhaps after we listen to this, then you could explain to me exactly what it was that you meant by this.
Sure.
Let's take a look and a listen to that audio tape right now.
I never used the word gutter. I used the word dirty. Now, there's a difference between the law of God, the teachings and commandments of God coming through Moses, or the teachings coming through Jesus or through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, and the actions of men sealed it under their names. In the commandments of Moses to Israel, we are told to set up no god but one God. We are told that we should not steal, we should not commit murder, we should not bear false witness against our neighbor, and we should not covet what belongs to somebody else. I do not feel that Zionism acted in the spirit of the scriptures of the Torah, or the Bible, or the Old Testament. For in my understanding of the scriptures, Miss Freeman, in the dispersal of the Jews, it was because of a violation of a covenant made with God. And God's request of the Jews was to return to the law of Moses that they had forsaken, repent of their breaking of that law, and God would return the Jews, and without waiting for the Messiah who would lead them there. To my understanding, there are over 600,000 Jews who do not believe that the state of Israel is the actual fulfillment of the divine promise made in the scriptures. My words are that lying and thievery and deceit and murder is not the true religion of God, but it is an unclean and dirty religion using God's name and Judaism as a seal for that kind of activity. And that is what I condemn.
Why do you feel, why do you think, that so many of the statements that you have made, according to you, have been misinterpreted, misrepresented, taken out of context and therefore seeming to mean something that you say they don't mean? Why has this happened repeatedly?
It is not surprising to me, Ms. Freeman, not at all. The Holy Quran charges the Jews with taking the words of God and altering them out of their place and writing a book with their own hands and saying, this is the word of God. If God's word is not respected, how can my word or your word be respected if we speak truth in a society and under a government that has consistently and repeatedly lied to the American people? So when I stand up with truth in my mouth, it evokes fear in the minds and hearts of those who listen. Because when one lies and when one deceives, they're always afraid of the day of the manifestation of their evil. My presence among our people in America, and to Jews and Arabs and black people, is as a warner. And warners don't come, Miss Freeman, because things are right. Warners come because things are wrong. And when warners come, they rebuke and they condemn. It doesn't sound good, but the warner is not your enemy. The warner is your friend. He pleads with you in the name of God and for righteousness' sake to change your ways, because the way that America is going, Miss Freeman, she will not be a nation before too long. She is destroying herself by her own wickedness. As Rome decayed from within, Babylon decayed from within, America is decaying from within.
If you care so much about America, then why have you repeatedly reinforced the thought of the nation of Israel to secede from these United States and have your own state set up?
If Moses cared for Pharaoh, his job was to warn Pharaoh of Jehovah's anger, that Jehovah wanted Israel free from the bondage of Pharaoh to go out and make a nation for his glory. We do not believe that Israel fulfilled this 4,000 years ago, and there is no record to show that Jews were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, but there is a record to show that black people have been in this country, in a strange land, among strange people, being afflicted in this country for 400 years. My plea to this government as a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is, if you can't give us freedom, you won't give us justice, you won't allow us to be equal, then let us go to do something for ourselves. That is what God demands. That is not wicked against America.
Reverend Farrakhan, let me just go back to something you just said. You said there is no record of 400 years of bondage of the Jews in Egypt. There are some people today who would like us to believe that the Holocaust never happened.
So we know, Ms. Freeman, according to recent history, that Jews did suffer in Nazi Germany. We can't say that the Holocaust did not exist. We don't have any control of NBC and ABC and CBS and CNN to constantly tell our story. I don't mind hearing about the Holocaust because suffering is suffering. But if we could tell our story like the Jews tell their story, then your people would cry over our suffering as we have cried over yours. You lost 6 million, Ms. Freeman, and we lost 100 million in the Middle Passage coming from Africa to America, where Arabs and Jews and Europeans and Africans and Americans were involved in that slave trade. And now today something has to be done because the suffering of black people is intolerable. It is unbearable. And if the Democratic Convention is going to be a charade of deceit and chicanery to placate the middle-class American or the bourgeoisie or the window-dressing Negro, then I fear that America will reap the same sad result that Pharaoh reaped, which was destruction of his power and his authority to rule.
If, in fact, what happens at the Democratic Convention, in your opinion, what you just mentioned, if that happens at the Democratic Convention, will you vote? You had never registered before. Reverend Jackson was responsible for your registering to vote. It had been against the principles of the Nation of Islam to register to vote, but you did. Will you vote now?
Now, say, Ms. Freeman, that I registered to vote because of Reverend Jackson, because I believe then and I believe now that he's a man of principle, that he will not sell black people out, and because I believe that he would stand up for justice for us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said any man that would do that deserved and should get the full backing and complete support of our community. I registered to vote because I believe that some good can come out of the political process for black people and for those that are disenfranchised or for those that are locked out. However, I must in fairness say that Mr. Mondale, to this point, has not shown me the strength of a leader that can lead America in this critical hour. You know, Ms. Freeman, I believe that Jewish leaders are so hysterical over Louis Farrakhan that they're blindly asking men like Mondale and Hart and others, you must repudiate Farrakhan, you must repudiate Farrakhan. Mr. Mondale, like a trained SEAL, jumped out and repudiated Farrakhan. The White House was a little careful in their remarks. Mr. Hart, the same way, jumped out and repudiated Farrakhan. The Holy Quran says to us, when an unrighteous man brings you news, look carefully into it, lest you harm a people in ignorance, then be sorry for what you did. Mr. Mondale did not show respect for me or respect for black people by saying, let me see the context of what this man has said. And if I can determine that this man is a racist and a bigot and an anti-Semite, I most certainly will condemn him in the strongest terms. But for him to do so before even hearing my remarks, and then in the Dallas debate with Reverend Jackson, when Reverend Jackson asked him, did you hear Minister Farrakhan's remarks in context? Mr. Mondale said, no, he hadn't. Hart hadn't.
So if Jewish leadership has a stranglehold on these men who are supposed to lead America, where will America go with weak-kneed, spineless men who cow down to pressure? Now, you said, Ms. Freeman, that we would secede, but Jewish leaders said if Mondale bowed to pressure to Jesse Jackson, that they would come out of the Democratic Party, take their money out, and join with Reagan. They should be careful. Blacks can do the same thing.
Mr. Farrakhan, I am now going to an article from the New York Times. It's entitled On the Record.
Yes.
And these are some remarks that were made March 11th by you. And within the remarks, you're talking to black reporters. And within the context, you said, "You already know what you want to write of me, so it don't really make any difference what I say. You already have a picture. Your editors have a picture of what they want Farrakhan to look like, especially your Jewish editors and Jewish writers." Is that not anti-Semitic?
No.
Why not?
No. Oh, Miss Freeman. You know, Jews stood on the opposite side of blacks on the Bakke decision. They have their point. The aspirations of blacks to redress the grievance of 400 years of injustice was that some sort of quota should be maintained, that blacks might get into medical school, might get in here or get in there. Jews stood firmly against this for their own reasons. No black person yet said that Jewish people were anti-black because they were critical of our position, critical of our leadership, critical of our stand. Do you mean that Jews are so sacred that they do no wrong, that I cannot say that a Jew did this wrong, or Jews did that wrong, or Jews are immoral over here without being branded as an anti-Semite? Isn't this a sort of a racist kind of posture? Because the way I understand the definition of Semitism, Miss Freeman, is that a Semite are Jews and also Arabs. Now, if I'm accused of being pro-Arab and they're Semitic people, and anti-Jew and they're Semitic people, how then can I be anti-Semitic? I think that is a very malicious misuse of the term anti-Semitic. Now, let's put that statement in context.
All right, I'd like to do that, but I want to be able to have the opportunity and the time to do it properly. We have to take some commercial messages right now. In fact, we went way over time so that we wouldn't have to break up until now. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Stay with us. Come back. Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is the leader of the Nation of Islam, is my guest this evening. We took a long break in between so that we could have one long segment in the beginning. You were about to make a point, and you wanted to be able to explain your point. Please go ahead, Reverend Farrakhan.
There was a young black reporter at the temple that Sunday from Newsweek magazine. She had told my assistant that Newsweek was doing a story. They were going to do it anyway. And so we wanted Minister Farrakhan to say a few words so that his words could be represented in the article. My anger was that they were going to do the story anyway. This young girl works for Newsweek, and we know how Newsweek and Time operate. They have bureaus. So when I told her that your editors already know how I am to be framed, because that young girl, if I gave her a story, she has no control over the angle at which that story was to be written. That is decided by people other than herself. And I knew that. And sure enough, I gave her the tape of my speech on March the 11th, and I had to leave to go to another city, and that speech was used 2 days before the New York primary, not because they wanted to protect Milton Coleman, but they wanted to embarrass Reverend Jackson.
Well, let us go back to something you mentioned a moment ago. Still trying to understand the discrepancies here between what is reported and what you say about your words being taken out of context and therefore not being understood. When we talked about the one comment of Judaism being a gutter religion, you called the tape for me and you said, "No, that's wrong. I didn't say it was a gutter religion. I said it was a dirty religion."
No, I didn't say that either. I said, I didn't use the word gutter. I used the word dirty. Now, taking that in context, the paper said, Farrakhan said, Judaism is a gutter religion. Farrakhan said, that should be quote, Judaism is a gutter religion. I am prepared to offer $100,000 and my life if CBS, the New York Post, or anyone can examine that tape and come up with the fact that I said that Judaism is a gutter religion. I could never make a statement like that and be a Muslim. All Muslims believe in God, believe in Moses, believe in the Torah, believe in the Injil brought by Jesus, and believe in the Quran brought by Muhammad. How could I, in good sound mind, condemn Judaism? But what I'm condemning is wicked practices using religion as a cover. The same thing was done with Christianity, same thing is done by some Muslims.
Because let me mention where I am confused here, and I'm sure a lot of people are confused here. For people who didn't see the earlier part of the program, they did not hear the audio tape. I think it's important to go back and to listen to it again, because what he told me at the time was that you didn't say gutter, you said dirty. But the word gutter came right before religion. So if we could, I would like to be able to go back and listen to that one more time.
But listen to the word rather than see what you have printed. Listen to what I said.
All right. Can we have that tape again, please? You didn't say the word gutter. Are you saying that in that particular place where the word it has been interpreted as gutter, you in fact said dirty?
Correct. But I never said Judaism.
You said Israel.
No, yeah, of course. Israel is not Judaism.
So what do you define as Israel? Most people today, when they think of Israel, think of Jews and think of Judaism.
There's a difference between persons who call themselves Jews and persons who live the life that was taught by Moses. Now, there are many people today who call themselves Jews, but there are just a few who live the life taught by Moses. The New Testament says the Jew is not the Jew outwardly, but the Jew is the Jew inwardly, and that is the person that submits to the will of God and carries into practice the teachings of Moses. They're not but a few of those.
I'm sorry, I've been distracted for the last 5 seconds, because I've just been handed something that the Senate has just passed a resolution, and I will read to you as best I can from this copy, because it is a bit difficult. This is in regards to the remarks to recent statements of Louis Farrakhan. Mr. Louis Farrakhan, close advisor to one of the presidential candidates, is reported to have referred to the Jewish faith as a gutter religion. Mr. Farrakhan has also accused the United States of being a criminal for our aiding and abetting role at the time of the creation of the Israeli nation. And Mr. Farrakhan has even called the very existence of Israel an outlaw act. Therefore, it is the sense of the Senate that there is no place in our society nor in our electoral process for hateful, bigoted expressions of anti-Jewish and racist sentiments such as those being made by Louis Farrakhan, and all such vicious expressions must be condemned. The leadership of the Senate is instructed to communicate with the chairman of the Democratic and Republican parties to request that they immediately repudiate in writing the sentiments and expressions of hatred made by Mr. Farrakhan. And it was passed in the Senate moments ago, 95-0.
Well, that's very nice. And there's not one black senator, is there? After we've been in this country for 400 years, you listen to me. And I want you to know, Miss Freeman, that nothing that the United States Senate does frightens, disturbs, or bothers me. My repudiation of the Senate carries more weight with God than the Senate's repudiation of me. We helped you build this country. We worked this land. I just want you to listen. I hope the Senate is listening. Before you became a republic and had a Senate, 5,000 blacks fought in the Revolutionary War, Crispus Attucks being the first to die. We fought from Concord, Bunker Hill, there in Boston. After the Revolutionary Army got their freedom, they would not recognize the contribution of those blacks. The Civil War, the same way. Now here it is. These men condemn me of hateful, bigoted remarks. But they will not condemn the racism that pervades this country, of which the Senate is a prime body. Why are there not any black senators? Yet you say that representation, or how the taxation without representation is tyranny. Then we black people in America live under tyranny, and we black people in America will raise up our voices to repudiate the United States Senate, the United States Congress, the United States government, because it was the United States government under the counterintelligence program of J. Edgar Hoover that murdered and assassinated black leaders and destroyed black organizations. What did the Senate say, and what did the Senate do? It's the same Senate that appropriates money for the CIA to mine the harbors of Nicaragua and send troops into Grenada and do all of the wicked things that the Senate has backed around the world. I don't care 2 cents for the United States Senate repudiation. I warn the Senate and I warn the government and I warn the president that America is headed down the drain. You better listen to this little black slave coming up from among you. My voice is the voice of God in your midst. And you are doing to me just what you did to all the prophets and those prophetic voices that rose up before me. You condemn Jesus, and the Roman Senate repudiated him. But today, you worship him. What will you do for me tomorrow?
You had said that you will raise your voices. You said we will raise our voices up against the United States Senate, up against the United States Congress, and up against the United States. Raise our voices as you raise it now, or were you using that to mean something else?
Listen to black people.
I'm listening.
Tomorrow, go out on the streets and talk to the little man in the streets and see what they say about the Senate's repudiation of Louis Farrakhan. It's not worth the paper that it's printed on. Black people will not respond as you think they will respond. They love Farrakhan, and they will love me more. The more you fight against me, the more they will fight for me.
But you are seeing it as simply a black and white fight.
You know, Mr. Cox said that tonight. It's not Jews and blacks, it's blacks and whites.
Is that how you see it?
That's how the Kerner Commission saw it. The Kerner Commission saw that America was moving towards two societies, one black, one white. The Kerner Commission gave specific recommendations to stop this. The Kerner Commission's recommendations have not been enforced, and you do have two societies in America, one black, one white, and a few Oreos all mixed up in between. But that's what you have, and the tensions are being exacerbated. Now, if Mr. Jackson has repudiated Brother Farrakhan, and those leaders of the Democratic Party feel that he has done what they wanted him to do, now the ball is in their court. What is the Democratic Party going to do for the black people, the brown people, the Arab Americans, the Native Americans, the Chicanos that are locked out of the democratic process? And by repudiating Farrakhan, do you solve the problems of America? Is Farrakhan the one guilty of polarizing the races? Is Farrakhan the one guilty of sowing the seeds of hatred and bigotry in the Senate and in the Congress, the germs of which is the Constitution, and the Constitution justifies slavery? If Farrakhan has anything to do with that, that's your hatred, America. That's your bigotry, America. But you want to put my condemnation of your wickedness on me. But the people see today.
But it would seem from the comments that have been attributed to you that the hatred is there, that it is directed towards Jews, and that it is very divisive. Reverend Jackson started out with wanting to have a rainbow coalition. And many people have suggested that because of some of the comments that you have made, it hurt his rainbow coalition, and therefore it never came to be.
Oh, Miss Freeman. Here again, the victim is being charged with a crime. Jesse Jackson wanted to build a rainbow coalition. Jesse Jackson had the ability, and still does, have the ability to build that rainbow. There are powers in this country that don't want blacks and Mexicans and Chicanos and or Native Americans and Hispanics and Arabs and whites who are poor and locked out to come together. Jesse Jackson in New Hampshire was getting 18% of the Democratic vote, according to pollsters, though there's less than 1% black in that state. When the Hymie remark was made known, and Reverend Jackson hedged on it and then confessed that he said it and apologized, his standing in the polls dropped from 18% to 8, then to 6%. The Rainbow Coalition was being built. I had spoken in front of Reverend Jackson on several occasions. There were many reporters there. None could say that Farrakhan used any racially inflammatory language. But those in the press saw this black Muslim close to Reverend Jackson. And it was the press who brought up the language of the Nation of Islam from the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and threw that out to kill the budding Rainbow Coalition. Then they want to put the blame on Farrakhan. That's a shame. But that's the way the wicked do. They always throw the stone, hide their hand, then blame the victim. We live this every day. Kill a black man and say he had the knife. He's the one that attacked me.
But what is the responsibility for those remarks?
Whatever, Ms. Freeman, that I say, in truth, I stand on what I say. No one can make me back down from the truth of what I say. I don't care if the whole world repudiates me. That does not mean that what I say is incorrect. If you prove me incorrect, I humbly will submit that I am wrong and beg your forgiveness. But your condemnation of me does not make me wrong. This is the same old trick that has been tried with every black leader that has stood up for justice. Paul Robeson.
It's not a trick. It's trying to get to better understanding.
It is a trick. It is wicked, malicious, devilishness on the part of leadership.
But Mr. Farrakhan, this is a forum. It's a live program. No one is taking your words out of context.
No, they can't tonight.
No. So you can say what your thoughts are.
And that's why I appreciate, Ms. Freeman, the privilege and the honor of being on your show. I thank you for this privilege because I know that whatever I say today, that's what I said. Now, what the press may write about what I say tomorrow, I don't know. But what I said tonight is what I said, and I'll go before the world and stand on what I said, and no power in the world will buckle my knees on what I say as long as what I say is true.
And perhaps we can get a very clear understanding this evening as far as your feelings towards the Jews.
Let me say this very humbly. You know, I have no hatred or animosity toward Jews. I have hatred and animosity toward exploitation, toward slavery, colonialization, or mind manipulation, toward deceit and chicanery. This is what I hate. And if you are a person of righteousness, you dislike those things too. And if I see that budding in a black person, I condemn it. If you see it in me, you have the right to condemn it. If I see it in a Jew, I have the right to condemn it without having to be called anti-Semitic. That's my point. I'm not hateful of Jews. I have great respect for Jews, but I do not have respect for wickedness. I don't care what you call it, if it's mine or yours or somebody else's.
But in most of the things that have happened since the March 11th sermon, time and time again, it goes back to a reference to the Jews. There was the Hitler remark that you made, and in many instances, only part of the remark was given, and perhaps to clear up the record this evening while we are speaking of it, it is important to give the entire, it won't be the entire sermon, but it certainly will put those statements into context, and I think that's important. here come the Jews, don't like Farrakhan, so they call me Hitler. Well, that's a good name. Hitler was a very great man. He wasn't great for me as a black person, but he was a great German. Now, I'm not proud of Hitler's evil against Jewish people, but that's a matter of record. He rose Germany up from nothing. Well, in a sense, you could say there's similarity in that we are rising our people up from nothing. But don't compare me with your wicked killers.
Those are my words exactly. I don't back down from one word that I spoke. Now, but that's not what the press said. The paper came out and said, Jackson Powell hails Hitler. That's not hailing Hitler. Farrakhan doesn't write books on Hitler, make movies on Hitler, parade Hitler memorabilia around the country. That's what you all do. Black people don't have any fascination with Hitler. It was George Will who wrote in the Newsweek magazine, our fascination with Hitler. You're talking about white folks' fascination with Hitler. And George Will said, as the study of disease begins with death, so the study of politics begins with Adolf Hitler. Those are not Farrakhan statements. Those are George Will's statements. I'm not an admirer of Hitler, but I do say he was great. Great is not synonymous with good. The Bible calls Babylon the great, but she's not Babylon the good. America is great, but America is not good. Hitler was great, but Hitler was not good. Those are my remarks. I stand on that.
Mr. Farrakhan, I want to go back to a question I posed to you earlier, and I didn't feel that I had a complete answer, and perhaps I'm looking for a shorter answer. You gave an explanation, but never really a yes or a no to me. Will you vote?
It depends, Ms. Freeman. I do not see in Mr. Mondale at this point the man that could save America. And Mr. Reagan seems bent on his course. I'm very, very sad, Miss Freeman, for what I see coming to this country. I am very, very sad. And America can put the blame on Farrakhan as the bigot and the hater and the anti-Semite. But it won't be too many more days, Miss Freeman, before you will remember my remarks and you will remember my warning.
Excuse me, we have to take this last time out. We'll be back right after these words. We have only a few moments left. Mr. Farrakhan, if I could ask you, the words that I hear you say are frightening words, words like a warning, mark my words. What do you mean by those words?
I should hope that America would be frightened because she should be. God is angry, and the time of the fulfillment of the prophet's prediction is now. America is headed into the heat of the Third World War, which is Armageddon. And that's just around the corner. And America could be better if she would. And I'm afraid that all of the wicked manipulations that are going on now, I don't think Mr. Mondale has the strength to turn America around. And I don't think Mr. Reagan will. It occurs to me, Ms. Freeman, that this may be the first time in history that a black man who has stood up for justice for black people has been so censured by all of the white leadership combined. And you know what that says, Ms. Freeman? It says that all the other black leaders who went before me, who were censured, their censure came from whites, but through blacks who were willing to be the agents of their condemnation. And now white folk have run out of black surrogates to be their evil, and they must come fully out themselves. I say this in deep humility. Your coming out against me is not really against me. It is against the truth, and it is against God. And we shall see the result.
Thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Queen.
I'd like to thank all of you for being with us as well. And to remind you that CNN will be bringing you live coverage of Reverend Jesse Jackson's return from Cuba. Now, that should happen somewhere within the next hour. Thanks for being with us tonight. Goodbye.